Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome everyone. First thing I want you to do is please go to wiserliving.com. That's W-E-I-S-E-R living.com. And on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation, number one. And you can also click on Wiser Living TV, that link, and watch all the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio. And you can check out the menu bar that lists all the articles, programs, and services at wiserliving.com. And Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and also products. So do that. Actually, do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. Thank you for that. So check out wiserliving.com, subscribe to Wiser Living TV, follow us at Wiser Living Radio, like us at facebook.com/wiserliving, and you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. This is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in to this broadcast today. I know your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. Not only that, over the next 28 minutes and a few seconds, I want to add to your wellness experience as I have added to mine in researching all of this information. So let me start out by giving you a couple of definitions. Phytic acid, P-H-Y-T-I-C. It's known as inositol hexakisphosphate. What a long, weird name. Inositol polyphosphate or phytate when in its salt form. So you're going to hear some of these terms used interchangeably today. So it's a saturated cyclic acid, and it is the principal storage form of phosphorus in many plant tissues, especially in bran and seeds, and it can be found in cereals and grains as well. Phytic acid in grains, nuts, and seeds and beans represent a potential serious problem in our diets, even though there are some benefits to having phytic acid in our bodies, especially in the intestinal tract. One of the problems that exists is due to our losing touch with how our ancestors actually prepared not only this but other anti-nutrients for beneficial consumption. Since I've mentioned the word anti-nutrient, it begs the question: what exactly is an anti-nutrient? And by definition, when I looked it up, an anti-nutrient is a naturally occurring substance such as a saponin, a tannin, or a phytate, which are found in plant-derived foods that interferes with absorption, or the proper functioning of nutrients in the body. Now, these anti-nutrients, then, are compounds that are produced by plants or are part of their defense mechanism. So it's not an anti to them. It's a nutrient to them. It's just anti to us in certain forms. So anti-nutrients like phytic acid can prevent your body from absorbing nutrients. Now, phytic acid is present in beans, seeds, nuts, and grains, especially in the bran or the hull, the H-U-L-L. Phytates are also found in tubers, and they are in trace amounts in certain fruits and vegetables, like berries and green beans. Now, up to 80%, that's 80% of the phosphorus, which is a vital mineral for bones and health, can be set apart from us, basically us getting the usable part of it with this phytic acid in the body. So 80% of the phosphorus, a vital mineral for bones and health, is present in the grain. It's locked into an unusable form as phytate. So when a diet with more than small amounts of phytate is consumed, the body will bind the calcium to the phytic acid and form an insoluble calcium, which means you lose calcium and you don't absorb the phosphorus. Now, seeds and bran are the highest sources of phytates, which is highly indigestible unless they are fermented for long periods. Raw unfermented cocoa or cocoa beans and normal cocoa powder are extremely high in phytates. Processed chocolates may also contain phytates. Now, on the other hand, white chocolate or cocoa butter probably doesn't contain phytates at all. Coffee beans also contain phytic acid. High phytate diets result in mineral deficiency. Now, in populations where cereal grains provide a major source of calories, rickets and osteoporosis are common. Now, it's interesting to note that the human body has some ability to adapt to the effects of phytates in the diet. Several studies show that people given high levels of whole wheat, at first they excrete more calcium than they take in. But after several weeks on this diet, they reach a balance and then they don't excrete excess calcium. Phytates also bind important minerals such as iron, magnesium, zinc, and in some cases manganese as well. And over the long term, when the diet lacks minerals or certain high levels of phytates or both, the metabolism goes down and the body goes into a mineral starvation mode. Now, the body then sets itself up to use as little of these minerals as possible. Now, the problem here is adults may get by for decades on a high phytate diet, but growing children run into severe problems because in a phytate-rich diet, their little bodies will suffer from the lack of calcium and phosphorus with poor bone growth, short stature, rickets, narrow jaws, and tooth decay. And for the lack of zinc and iron with anemia and mental retardation. Okay. I've said a lot, right, just up to now. It's like, oh, my goodness, gloom and doom. Okay, earlier we talked about phytate. A phytate is a phytic acid bound to a mineral. Phytates perform an essential role in plants as they are, you know, they're an energy source for the sprouting seed. When a seed sprouts, phytase enzymes break down the stored phytate, and when we eat the plant, the phytates are broken down into that hexakisphosphate word that I used before, and inositol polyphosphate. Now, inositol is a member of the B-complex family, so there's a good side to this. So everyone who eats plants consumes some phytic acid. So it becomes a question of how much acid, phytic acid, is too much. You know, phytic acid intake tends to be much higher among those on non-Westernized diets. In developing countries, plants are the staple food, which means that people eat more of them than and therefore they get more phytic acid, right? So that makes sense, but plant-based or vegetarian eaters, they tend to consume more phytic acid than meat eaters. And males tend to consume more phytic acid than females, and just because they eat more in most cases. Now, most phytate, up to 66%, is degraded in the stomach and small intestine. Most of it is degraded in the stomach and the small intestine. I think that's key. I'm here, which I hope that we'll, birth that in a minute. You know, under ordinary circumstances or ordinary conditions, our body regulates phytate levels fairly well by adjusting the uptake of it in the gut and excreting it until the body levels out and then it comes into balance. Now, vitamin D status in the body influences how much phytate is actually retained. So the more vitamin D, the more phytate retained, and the less vitamin D, the less phytate retained. Now, phytic acid can bind minerals in the gut, but before they are actually absorbed, and it can also influence digestive enzymes. Phytates also reduce the digestibility of starches, proteins, and fats. For example, vegan eaters often consume more iron than omnivores, yet they also consume more anti-nutrients, including phytates, and these reduce the amount of iron available to their bodies. And since consuming 5 to 10 milligrams of phytic acid can reduce iron absorption by 50%, vegan and vegetarian eaters should eat more iron than omnivores. Now the question is, what source of iron that could be bioavailable can you get in order to make this work? Now, while in the intestines, phytic acid can bind the minerals iron, zinc, manganese, as I mentioned, magnesium as well. I mentioned this before. So once bound, they're excreted in the waste. So you don't get the benefit of that. Now, this can be a good thing or a bad thing depending on the condition. It's a bad thing if you are having trouble building up iron stores in the body and have developed iron deficiency anemia. But despite the potential drawbacks, phytic acid is similar in some ways to a vitamin, and metabolites of phytic acid may have secondary messenger roles in cells. And some experts, they even suggest that it's the phytic acid in whole grains and beans that supplies the protection against cardiovascular disease, cancer, and diabetes. So when phytic acid binds to minerals in the gut, it actually prevents the formation of free radicals. Let me say that again. When phytic acid binds to minerals in the gut, it actually prevents the formation of free radicals. Thus, it becomes an antioxidant at this level. It also seems to bind to heavy metals like cadmium and lead, which helps to prevent their accumulation in the body. Now, foods higher in phytic acid seem to enhance the activity of natural killer cells, therefore inhibiting tumor growth. Phytic acid has shown some capacity to reduce cholesterol and triglycerides and positively impact the sugar response of certain foods. Now, in some cases, phytic acid seems to have the ability to slow down a potential blood sugar spike following the ingestion of certain high carbohydrate foods. Now, this may explain why high fiber foods have been associated with improved blood sugar control. Now, here's the catch. The potential benefits of phytic acid occur in instances with high dietary phytic acid intake. However, a high intake has also been associated with reduced mineral absorption. So in order for us to get the best of both worlds, or get the best of both sides of this equation, and that equation being phytic acid, is it friend or foe? Is it important to discover? Is it important to discover ways to actually minimize the negative effects while maximizing the beneficial effects? Well, yes, it's important. Now, one way to do this is by incorporating more vitamin C into the diet. Vitamin C and iron actually work well together. The vitamin C places iron in a chemical state that is more readily absorbed by the body. So that's a good thing. Preparation methods such as soaking, germinating, and sprouting can be very effective in reducing the amount of phytic acid present in food. Now, some methods are better for different foods. And in case of the nuts and legumes, soaking and germinating are the most successful. But for grains and cereals, soaking, germinating, and fermenting are effective. Another way to maximize the benefits of phytic acid is to simply increase the consumption of foods rich in iron, zinc, magnesium, and calcium, because those foods are naturally low in phytic acid. So let me go back to this phytic acid, the preventative properties of it for a moment. Phytic acid helps prevent hardening of the arteries and platelet formation. And with some phytate being excreted in the urine, this may improve kidney health and prevent kidney stones. Phytic acid plays a role in pancreatic function and insulin secretion, and it may reduce the glycemic response from meals, meaning you'll feel full far longer than usual. Hemochromatosis or iron overload is a common genetic disorder that phytic acid's iron binding properties can protect against or even reduce. Once again, is phytic acid worth worrying about? Probably not for most of us. There's a study that showed that subjects consuming a Mediterranean style diet, and a Mediterranean style diet, that is a plant-based diet with whole grains, legumes, nuts, and healthy fats, and using herbs and spices, the flavor of the food. This type of diet, which includes about 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of phytic acid per day, did not suffer. People that ate that kind of diet, they did not suffer from reduced mineral bioavailability. And at the same time, certain people might have to be a bit more attentive to this. For instance, iron intake and absorption can be critical for infants approaching 6 months of age. So when plants are added to the infant's diet, it may be important to adopt strategies to reduce the phytic acid and enhance iron absorption, because they need a lot more iron than you know adults do. So, and it is possible to actually even overcome the anti-nutrient effects of phytic acid in our food while still receiving the benefits of a plant-rich diet. So how do we do that? You know, I've already mentioned soaking, I've mentioned fermenting, I've mentioned sprouting. Now, heating foods can destroy small amounts of phytic acid, but it can also destroy the phytase enzyme as well as the vitamin C. So it's like we have this balancing act going on here, and it's like, okay, what am I going to do with this? Depending on what book you read, it's that pendulum swings from the left extreme all the way to the right extreme. And then in the middle, it can get kind of confusing when you look at this in relation to your diet, what you should eat, what you can eat. That's what should you stay away from. Another thing is processing. And I'm not talking about the processed foods, but I'm talking about milling grain and removing the bran. When you do that, that decreases the phytic acid. And I know a lot of you on this program today, you're not going to be in the kitchen and do these types of things, you know, cooking what I guess I could call, quote unquote, the old way, the traditional way. I mean, it's there's a reason why ancestral nutrition is not only was important then, but it's going to be important in the future, which means that you're boxed in. It's important now. If not for you, your family. You know, do it for your family. And of course, if you want to do it for your family, you're going to have to do it, because most people don't do what you say. They actually do what you do. Of course, you already know this, so I'm not going to beat that stomp into the ground. So processing, this milling the grains and removing the bran kind of removes a lot of the phytic acid. And unfortunately, this process, basically what I said, it removes the minerals too. So what do we do? So with minerals, with the removing of the minerals, what you can do is enrich the food through supplementation, because supplementation will allow for the increased or enhanced nutrient absorption in the body. Also, animal protein, for those who consume it, may enhance absorption of zinc, iron, and copper. Let me say that again. Animal protein, for those who consume it, may enhance absorption of zinc, iron, and copper. So if you're not consuming animal protein, you're going to have to supplement. And I kind of say that with a heavy heart, because you can't just take any supplement. That it has to be the right supplement. It must be processed properly in order for you to get the beneficial, the total benefits out of it. Because you're not really what you throw into your mouth. You are what you absorb. I mean, your body has to be able to absorb it in general, and specifically your gastrointestinal tract. That's your stomach and your total intestinal tract. Now, adding small amounts of animal protein might increase the absorption of these minerals in the body, except for dairy and casein. For some reason, it seems to hinder iron and zinc absorption. Also, a low pH in the gut enhances iron absorption. Low pH means a pH that's more acidic in nature. Balancing the level of beneficial bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract or GI tract might help with this. Gastrointestinal enzymes and gastrointestinal probiotics along with fermented foods is an excellent way to obtain and maintain gut health. So we should aim to reduce phytic acid rather than eliminate it. So you want to, your chief aim is to reduce it. And I'm saying reduce it because if you get it, if you cross over into the arena of eliminating it, it's going to be very, very difficult, number one. Number two, you may be losing some of the benefits of phytic acid by totally eliminating it, if that in fact can be done. Because studies have shown that phytic acid, particularly from wheat bran, actually stimulates the production of phytase, of the phytase enzyme in the small intestine, not in the colon. Because if it gets down into the colon, it's going to be another problem. So that's where that leaky gut, you don't have leaky gut in your small intestine, you have it in your large intestine, usually, or the later half of the small intestine. So that's where the spaces are widened, so all of the crud and stuff that should be passing through you is actually going into the bloodstream, which causes a host of other problems. So if these studies are true, and it stimulates the production of phytase enzyme in the small intestine, then the fact that phytase can be produced in the small intestine eliminates the absolute is the key word here, the absolute need to ferment all grain before consuming. So I'm not saying you shouldn't ferment. I'm just saying you don't have to ferment every single thing. I hope you get that. You got that. You know, I personally love fermented vegetables. I like cabbage, which, you know, when it's made, it's sauerkraut. Fermented beets, carrots, celery, cauliflower, garlic, you know. Even, and some of them even stick, we even stick a little red pepper in there to spice it up. I mean, and then once all of the food is gone, like say if the carrots and the beets and they're all gone, we drink the liquid. Why? Because it is loaded with friendly bacteria. And also remember that phytic acid can be digested by us, and it actually releases a B vitamin called inositol, which is a key vitamin necessary for the metabolism of fats and cholesterol. Matter of fact, you can check our website for recipes on ferment. So be sure to go there. I mean, there's enough recipes to get you started, right? So to reduce the anti-nutrient effects of phytic acid, try soaking, try sprouting and fermenting, and also, you know, and cooking some of the food, the plant food. But remember, when you cook, when you start cooking, which is not a bad thing, a lot of the nutrients are going to be lost in whatever you're cooking it in. Obviously, if you're doing broth or you're doing something where you can actually retrieve the fluid, then by all means do that. But I personally believe that supplementation, good plant-based supplementation, it would behoove you to really incorporate that into your daily routine as it relates to food. So soaking, sprouting, fermenting, and cooking food. Consume vitamin C-rich foods with meals that contain phytic acid. Now, here's where the food combining comes in. And I'll just give you one example. Would be, say, if I eat red meat, and a lot of people, they hear the word red meat, they're running the other way. To get the total benefit from it without the adverse effects, I don't eat red meat with rice and potatoes and say, pasta. I will eat that red meat with a vegetable, a green vegetable. Or if I'm going to eat a potato, it's going to be a sweet potato. So what is that actually doing? Well, one way, say like you eat it with a russet potato, which is the typical American diet, a Western diet, is you eat it with a white potato or a russet potato, and what happens there is it's going to kick your insulin, your pancreas is going to kick out a lot of insulin very quickly, and you're going to want to sit down and put your feet up and just go to sleep, which in this household, we call it bobblehead. But if you eat that same meal with that same meat with a green veggie and or a sweet potato, there's a slow insulin release, and you have energy at the end of that meal. So you get the proper breakdown of the food stuff. So consume vitamin-rich foods with meals that contain phytic acid. Dense sources of vitamin C include guava, bell peppers, kiwi, oranges, grapefruit, strawberries, Brussels sprouts, cantaloupe, papaya, broccoli, sweet potatoes I mentioned, pineapple, cauliflower, kale, lemon juice, and parsley. There's a product that we consume that has all this in it. It's amazing how you can, if you really want to be strong and vibrant from a mental standpoint, emotional standpoint, a strength standpoint, physical standpoint, then you want to eat correctly and also supplement appropriately. Use vinegar in salad dressing and cooking to enhance mineral absorption and offset phytic acid. So as you can see, this program with the phytic acid is neither good nor bad. Phytic acid is obviously going to be necessary. If you think about it, it was put in the food for a reason. It's to really save the food from insects and save it from the birds and all of these things eating it. So when we break it down, we get the benefit from it. So phytic acid is okay in small amounts. Phytic acid is not okay if you're consuming bread that's on a shelf in a store that doesn't have to be refrigerated. There's a problem there. So you don't take this information and say, well, I can just go buy any kind of bread. No, you can't. You've got to buy certain breads in order to do that. So supplement with gastrointestinal enzymes, supplement with a plant matrix vitamin and mineral supplement, and make sure you're getting, with these gastrointestinal enzymes, make sure they're enzymes that break down in the stomach, the small intestine, and large intestine. Just don't get any kind of gastrointestinal enzyme. You can go to the Wife Living site and look at some of those that we offer. Okay. We've covered a lot in this program, so please, I want you to do this. At the outset of this program, I ask you to go to wiserliving.com. There's a lot of, like we said, there are recipes there. You definitely want to go there. If nothing else, check those out. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV, because there's a host of videos that actually, they don't talk about phytic acid in, you know, by itself. Specifically, but there's a lot of videos on how to enhance your eating of food and nourishing your body. So go to Wiser Living TV. Look those. You can look at the videos that you need to look at. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Obviously, follow us because you can't subscribe to it. But as you're listening to programs like this, a lot of this information is there. It will at least stimulate your thinking. So don't. Keep it to yourself. Tell a friend. Get them on the program. Share this with them, because the more people we can share this with, the more people that will be helped. The more questions I'll get, I'll know what to talk about, and it's going to benefit not only you, but it'll benefit me and the people in our circle of concern as well. Like us at facebook.com/wiserliving and connect with us at, you know, Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. So you can also go to wiserliving.com if you have questions. If you have questions that you want answered, go there and send us a message. Obviously, there's a phone number that you can contact contact us with as well. So do that. I hope you guys have a great, great day or evening, depending on what part of the world you're from. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Bud Wiser, and we'll see you next time.